Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Jane Steinberg.
Okay, Randall, you have another question from one of our listeners at the Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com in our question bank. Go ahead.
Absolutely, yes. Rusty Shackelford asks, as part two of his question on MJ-12, also, I'd be interested in Kevin's thoughts on Bill Moore's revelation that his intelligence contact, known by the code name Falcon, was in fact CIA spymaster Harry Rosicky. Does he believe this to be true? Meaning, do you believe that to be true? Kevin, take it away.
No.
That was easy.
And Rusty, I don't mean to be condescending here, but did you look at Bill Moore's speech from the 1989 symposium in Las Vegas where he admitted that he was making up stuff and working with the AFOSI to feed false information into the UFO community? Bill Moore actually accused me of spying on APRO, for crying out loud. Bill Moore was on the board of directors of APRO at one point, and I think because he lived in Arizona, and the Lorenzans lived in Arizona. He said that he was feeding information from APRO into the AFOSI, and he said, I always suspected there was somebody else doing it, and I think it was Kevin Randall. Wasn't me. I wasn't. Lorenzans were my friends. I would have never have done that. But the MJ-12 thing is a complete fabrication. So anything that leads you in those directions is probably not true. I think Stan was the last. Well, I guess the Ryan and Robert Woods are still kind of supportive of MJ-12. But I noticed their website. I haven't visited their website in 6 or 7 months, but it hadn't been updated at that point for a year or more. So I think they've kind of moved away from that, and maybe other things have gotten their interest, or there's other things they need to do.
Interesting, though, because, you know, when you're talking about the deep state, I mean, we're kind of talking about the same sort of an idea, that there is this cabal that isn't obvious, that is behind the scenes and who knows the truth and is pulling the strings and manipulating the situation so that they keep it to themselves while keeping the rest of us out of it. So maybe if it is kind of a strategy to shake the tree and see what falls out, I mean, it is kind of actually brilliant in a certain way. And I mean, certainly unorthodox, but it's reasonable to think that there is something like that going on. I mean, otherwise, why even talk about the deep state, right?
Well, yeah, it's reasonable to talk about something like that, but MJ-12 is a whole different category. MJ-12 is clearly a hoax. And what has it done? It has diverted our attention. It has diverted our resources. It has diverted our research for decades. I mean, here we are still talking about this thing that is clearly a hoax. And we're talking about it in 2021. I updated the case MJ-12 just a couple of years ago and added new information. We actually found a document called Majestic, codenamed Majestic, in 1952. It turned out it was a logistics plan. It had nothing to do with UFOs or anything like that. But here we got the top secret Majestic. We found the documents. You're not going to have two code words that match that closely because, A, they keep track of the code word so they don't do something like that. Because so I show up at a base and I have my orders and it says cleared for top secret Majestic. And they think it means the UFO stuff. So they're feeding me the UFO stuff. And really all I was interested in was the logistics.
So the whole MJ-12 thing is either, well, it's just a hoax. It's not, you wouldn't even go so far as to say it was a diversionary plan of disinformation by the deep state, would you? Or do you think that's a possibility?
No. But if I was a member of the deep state and they were saying, what have you done for us lately? I said, yeah, I got that MJ-12 thing going. I think the whole point of MJ-12 was part of it was more trying to shake things loose. Allegedly, to shake things loose, as he mentioned it to a number of people. And the other thing was to propel them back into the spotlight of the UFO field, because what did it do? It ended up getting them a two-hour special on syndicated television. I mean, it was broadcast not on a network, but it was they had a network of syndicated cable channels that broadcast this thing back in 1989, 1990, something like that. And they had all the players. Jesse Marcel Jr. was there. We had some of the clowns that supposedly were members of the Aviary, which is what they called the MJ-12 guys who were feeding them information. But I think it's been thoroughly discredited, and I think Moore has kind of repudiated most of it himself. Stan, of course, was one of these people who could not even admit he was wrong when he was provably wrong. And the best example I have is the Plains of San Augustine. Augustine is not spelled the way you think it is. It's spelled bizarrely. And I pointed this out to Stan once. I said, well, you know, you historically misspell San Augustine. And Stan says, well, it's printed that way on my maps. And I said, well, you've got the only maps in the country that have it misspelled.
It sounds like somebody taking a Sharpie pen to a weather map and moving a hurricane to a different location. But I don't want to be political.
Well, if you're going to be political, we got an empty suit running the country now. So there you go. That's the other side of the coin.
Whatever it is, regardless, at this point, we can argue about that for the rest of time and never come to a conclusion. I have something I want to bring up since we got into MJ-12, and this is related also to the government, reality or not. The story from the debrief, and this is MJ Benias, Tim McMillan, and Micah Hanks, and their website. It says, the Department of Defense Office of the Inspector General has announced the launch of a formal evaluation into the Pentagon's actions regarding unidentified aerial phenomena, or UAP. According to a memorandum provided to the debrief and then released by the Inspector General, the objective of this evaluation is to determine the extent to which the DOD has taken actions regarding unidentified aerial phenomena. Does that mean anything?
It sounds like a lot of gobbledygook. No, I think it's important that they're admitting that there's something going on, but that doesn't lead us to the extraterrestrial. We've got the idea that they're going to release, as I mentioned earlier, that release that report in June about their investigation, and they're supposed to update it every 6 months or something like that. I'll be surprised what it does. But it's interesting that the government is coming out and saying things like that, and we're going to investigate these things. I thought we took care of that with the Condon Committee. They discovered there was no national security implications, there was nothing to it, and you couldn't learn anything of scientific value by studying it, so it was a waste of time and money. And now we're back to the idea, well, we're going to study this thing again. So maybe there is.
It sounds to me, Kevin, that you believe this is going to lead into the same result as the Condon Committee. It's going to come out, oh, it's no threat to national security. Goodbye, good riddance.
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. It's Condon Committee 2.0.
Well, right, but then why did it all start with the New York Times story? Why was there a point in even running that New York Times story and setting up expectations that, of course, will not be realized? I'm not talking by the side trips into the To the Stars Academy and a former rock star, that kind of thing, who didn't have any hit records for many years and looked to become famous again, or Luis Elizondo, for that matter. All these side journeys, why even bother? What's the point of all that if it's just going to lead to something that nobody cared about?
It might be that the U.S. Congress spent $22 million investigating UFOs again, and so they better come up with a serious story about what was going on. The interest has always been there in UFOs, and the Robertson panel idea was debunk the mystery, and people will lose their interest in it. Well, that didn't happen. They tried it again in 1969, and it didn't happen, and we've still got... Well, you and I are still talking about UFOs right now. I do it on my radio show once a week, whether I want to or not. Don't always do UFOs. Do some other things interesting, too. But
Actually, that's really good that you mentioned that, Kevin, because I was going to bring it up. You do a very good interview show, and you've been on Coast to Coast as well. I think you even mentioned that you've got a regular thing going there. Is that a weekly thing? Or
I will be doing Coast to Coast again tonight for my 3 minutes. I do it once a week. I do an update on what's going on in UFOs. And to date, I'm going to start off with the... a website about conspiracy theories that people still believe in.
Let's do our break. You still believe in this stuff. Kevin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at rockoids.com. That's rockoids, rockoids.com.
If there's a sudden disaster and you can't get to the grocery store, or they're all out of food, what would you do? You'll wish you had emergency food to get you through the crisis. And that's why we're here. We're MyPatriotSupply.com, America's leading source of emergency food. Our food lasts for up to 25 years, and millions of families trust us for their disaster survival. Won't you join us? Unlike other food companies, we don't skimp on calories. Our meals give you more than 2,000 calories per day. Why? Because that's what you need to survive any challenging crisis. And right now, you can save $50 on our popular 4-week emergency food kit. Just go to MyPatriotSupply.com and place your order. We ship fast, 2 to 3 days max, and your food arrives discreetly right to your door. So order today and save $50 at MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
Join me, George Norrie, for Contact in the Desert Worldwide Virtual UFO Conference, June 25th to the 28th. Contact in the Desert will be an epic weekend of exploration into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, consciousness, AI, crop circles, and cutting-edge science. More than 130 presentations, 67 speakers, and 2 extra weeks to view our extraordinary lineup. Get your tickets today at contactinthedesert.com. It's time to make contact. Contactinthedesert.com.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. 800-880-1896. That's 800-880-1896.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So, since you brought it up, coast to coast, we have no problem with them. Only if you're on, of course. Kevin Randall, answer the question. What conspiracy theories do we still believe in, other than the Kennedy assassination, I would think?
I've read some books on the Kennedy assassination. I'm pretty well convinced Oswald did it by himself. But that's just me. They were talking about the fake moon landings, for example. or the Earth is flat. And I always thought the flat earthers were kind of a joke society, meaning they got together as kind of a club to meet once in a while. We're going to embrace the flat earth to get ourselves a little bit of publicity. The Bermuda Triangle keeps coming up, and I don't understand why. I read a book by Lawrence Kuhn in the 70s called The Bermuda Triangle Solved, and I was of the opinion if you're going to debate people about these mysteries, you should be well informed of what the other side has to say about it. So I read his book, and he convinced me. I was a member of the 928 Tactical Airlift Group back in the 1980s. Our parent organization was the 440th Tactical Airlift Wing out of Milwaukee. And they lost an airplane in the Bermuda Triangle. And you can read the books about the airplane. It was a C-119 lost in the Bermuda Triangle in the 1960s. And so we were having a meeting in Milwaukee, and I was talking to the guys up there, the intelligence officers up there. And I said, so what's the deal with this airplane you guys lost in the Bermuda Triangle? And he said, well, we didn't lose it. It crashed. And I said, how do you know? And I said, well, we found wreckage. Would you like to see some of it? And so they knew what happened to the airplane. So you read in the Bermuda Triangle this mystery of this C-119 that disappeared in the Bermuda Triangle, and you find out that it was an airplane that had electrical problems. It went down at twilight or that kind of thing where the fog, and they couldn't make out the horizons. They were in instrument weather, and they basically flew it into the ocean. But we knew what happened to the airplane, and the wreckage was found. So, you know, that and reading the book convinced me that there wasn't much to the Bermuda Triangle. So that's one of the conspiracies that people believe in still today. I've looked at a number of these things in the last 6-8 weeks where the Bermuda Triangle keep, you know, what's going on in the Bermuda Triangle? Absolutely nothing, people. Good Lord.
Right. They've got the Great Lakes Triangle and the Dragon's Triangle now.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's like one was popularized. And so let's find more. It seems like a lot. It's the same thing with the flying saucer crash as well. You know, the Roswell incident that got some traction. So let's do a bunch more. And of course, you're going to know that a lot of it is just people jumping on the bandwagon to get attention and or try to, you know, sell something.
Okay, conspiracy theories. All right, so it's quite likely that Oswald was the lone gunman, although that Senate committee pointed to a conspiracy. What about that? Do you think, even though he acted alone, that he was influenced as part of a conspiracy?
No, I think he was just an idiot.
Well, there you go.
He tried to assassinate a general. Was Walker? Was his name Walker?
I think so, yes. I used to go to the lectures by Mark Lane back in the 60s. He wrote a book called Rush to Judgment. He was a lawyer, former member of the New York State Assembly, and I think still alive. He must be 90 years old now or something.
Or 107, and, something like that.
Right. And he would, number one, say that rifle couldn't have been used because it's not accurate enough. But I think, well, maybe he got one with a properly adjusted sight. And then, even if the odds are against something, that doesn't mean it won't happen.
Well, in Vietnam, we had something we called the Golden BB, which was the idea that no matter how well protected you were, no matter where you were, somebody could get off a lucky shot and take you out. In Iraq, we had a guy, one of the members of our brigade was killed wearing the body armor, but there's no side, the body armor we had no side panels to it. And the round just hit him in the side in the right position to penetrate into his chest and kill him. So there's the philosophy of the Golden BB. So when you say, you know, the rifle wasn't accurate enough, well, it only had to be accurate one time, and it was for the final shot. The shot wasn't that difficult either because the ranges weren't that far. He had a telescopic sight on it. So when you say, well, the rifle wasn't that good, the rifle was good enough to do the job. You'd like something a little bit better if you were going to do it. The thing that convinces me is nobody knew the route that Kennedy was going to take until the day before. And it just happened to go by the school depository in Dallas. Oswald realized, well, I have the opportunity to take out the president. So he took it. You know,
okay, question I'm going to ask you here. Forgetting Kennedy assassination. Forgetting Bermuda Triangle, which, of course, I was a friend of Charles Burles, who wrote that book. The Philadelphia Experiment, forgetting those, are there, other than probably UFOs, any genuine conspiracies?
Well, if you want to get technical, conspiracy is designed to create a criminal activity. Sure, the Lincoln assassination was a conspiracy. There was more than one guy involved. There was more than one assassination attempted. There's a conspiracy for you.
I'm thinking in terms of something with more of a mysterious connotation, where something happened and there's controversy over what really happened, but the alternative theories have merit, which then gets into the debate.
Well, obviously you're talking Roswell there. Everybody agrees something fell. Just what was it?
And we all agree that Kennedy died, and that was the argument. Who killed him? But why did that Senate committee, was it a Senate committee or a House committee? Why did that congressional committee come up with a conclusion that a conspiracy was involved?
Because they had a tape recording from a Dallas police officer's open radio, and they alleged there were four shots fired. And because there were four shots fired and Oswald only fired three, it must have been a conspiracy. But I think they've now analyzed the tape again and realized that one of the shots was an echo. It was an echo. You didn't get more than three shots. But there was an open microphone on one of the Dallas police officers' radio. And so the dispatcher or whoever recorded the shots from the school depository.
Just think here, though. Back to our UFO thing, conspiracies, hopes for disclosure and everything. If those articles had not come out in the New York Times, if no one paid attention to $22 million, which is a drop in the bucket of a drop in the bucket, if you get my point, if nobody paid attention to that or the article, none of this would have happened, and we wouldn't have to have a great fall if it turns out that nothing comes from this UAP task force. All from that set of New York Times stories, it created expectations that otherwise people didn't care about. I mean, we had ongoing interest in UFOs, but nobody expected the government to do anything about it or have the promise of doing anything about it. Isn't that kind of strange? Or was that a setup?
Well, circumstances get together. If you study aircraft accidents, you find that there's usually a cascading event.
We're at a cascade right now. And more with Kevin, Gene, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News.
I'm Brandon Gunther. The remnants of China's rogue Long March 5B rocket reportedly landed in the Indian Ocean this morning after its uncontrolled descent was tracked around the world over the past week. Reuters reported the landing, citing information from the Chinese government. The rocket is one of the largest objects in recent history to strike the Earth after falling out of orbit following a Chinese re-entry last year, which struck a small village in West Africa. No injuries were reported from that incident. The death toll in a horrific bombing at a girls' school in the Afghan capital of Kabul has soared to over 50, many of them adolescent students.
The number of wounded in Saturday's attack has also climbed to more than 100, according to Afghanistan's Interior Ministry. Three explosions occurred outside the school entrance as students were leaving for the day. The blasts occurred in a mostly Shiite neighborhood in the west side of the capital. The Taliban has denied responsibility, condemning the attack in a statement. This is USA Radio News. The Octomom has been beat out by Nanumom. USA's Wendy King has the story.
A woman in Mali has given birth to 9 babies. 25-year-old Halima Cisse gave birth by cesarean section to 4 boys and 5 girls on Tuesday. The nonuplets have yet to be verified by the Guinness Book of World Records for the most births from a single woman. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
States have asked the federal government this week to withhold large amounts of the COVID-19 vaccine amid plummeting demand for the shots, adding to an already growing U.S. stockpile of doses. More than 150 million Americans, approximately 57% of the adult population, have received at least one dose of vaccine, but government leaders are digging in to persuade the rest of the country to get inoculated. The Biden administration announced this week that if states don't order all the vaccine they've been allotted, the administration will shift the surplus to meet demand in other states. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So, Kevin, you're going to talk about cascading events. Is that what happened here?
If you look at aircraft accidents, it's usually not one thing that goes wrong. It's a series of things that go wrong. And if the series doesn't progress in the proper fashion, then you don't have the aircraft accident. And somebody can fix the problem before we get to the catastrophic end. I think that's where we get some of this stuff. There's a cascading event. Not to mention that Leslie Keene has, a keen interest in UFOs, and she has a wonderful platform. I think that she's missed the boat on a couple of things.
But where has she missed the boat?
Well, I think with Kexford, but that's a whole other argument. But, I mean, what I'm looking at here is she's got a platform and a reputation that people accept, and so she is able to publish the information that in the past would have gotten kind of a wink and a nod, and that would have been the end of it. So, you know, it's just one of those things. The events all came together, and she was able to publish the story. She got some information that was accurate and published the information, and we had what's-his-face from Blink-182 deciding to get into the UFO business. And
Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge, and we've got...
I never heard in my life, and I'm an old rock and roll fan, have never heard a single song from Blink-182. And if I didn't, I wouldn't recognize it, honestly. Not that there aren't fans out there, because Tom DeLonge was supposedly worth $50 million, which for a rock star is very little.
Well, it's a lot for the rest of us.
Right, but a big rock star. And the To the Stars Academy is kind of moribund now after Lou Elizondo went off to do his own thing. Now, Lou Elizondo... What has he said? I don't want to criticize him. He seems like a decent guy. What has he said that really advances the state of UFO research?
Not a whole lot. A lot of what we got out of To the Stars Academy and these things that were going on didn't really advance our knowledge whatsoever, because they didn't present anything that helped us understand what was going on, or validating what we believe to be going on. And I think that's where we are. He says, well, I was an insider. I saw these sorts of things. Well, we need some documentation to back this up. What sort of things did you see, and how exciting was it? I mean, we can go back and look at other players in ufology. Again, I'll go back to Don Kehoe, who did have inside sources and was telling stuff, publishing stuff about flying saucers back in the day. And the Air Force was saying, well, this is untrue. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And it turns out now that we've got access to the Blue Book files and some of the other information, we realize that Kehoe was right on an awful lot of this stuff.
You know, there's a story about Kehoe, which I've mentioned before, and it involves our old friend Jim Moseley. So as you recall, Moseley in the early 50s, newly departed from Princeton, where he basically gave up, quit school, quit college, and goes out there working with a writer to do research on flying saucers. During the course of that, he went over the Project Blue Book, and he wanted to see sightings. They let him go in there, take an office typewriter, and type out stuff. Now, it turned out, of course, Kehoe had his own contacts with Project Blue Book, but he wouldn't go in there and actually physically type things. They would relay the information to him verbally, and he'd write it down. But when he learned that Moseley had actually been in the office and gotten this material, he threw a fit. And it ended up that Project Blue Book curtailed their access policies as a result of that, a story that apparently is true.
A number of people got into Blue Book files when they shouldn't have. They allowed Don Menzel in there.
He had clearance, so we found out later, right?
Well, he wasn't supposed to take anything, but he was doing that. He was taking stuff out of the files, too, which he wasn't supposed to do. So Menzel had access. I think James McDonald got access. But I talked to a guy named Carmen Morano, who was the... I say he was the last chief of Project Blue Book. He was the guy that closed down the shop after everybody had left. He was working with Blue Book. There's pictures of him in magazines with the Blue Book staff. I mean, and I talked to the guy 3 years ago, about his experiences with Project Blue Book. And they created files. I think that would be the right word. Created files, briefing books on the sightings, because they knew what sightings people would want to look at. And so there were two sets of files, the ones that the public got into and the real set of files, if you will. So you had to be careful what you were looking at, but they let an awful lot of people into the files to poke around. And, of course, now all of us can do that because the files are online. I have, and this cracks me up, I have a 1 terabyte hard drive, external hard drive that fits in your shirt pocket. And it's got the entire Project Blue Book files on it. I can carry the entire Project Blue Book files around in my pocket, which I think is hilarious.
That's awesome. And they are worth going through. I mean, I've done
yes.
it myself. I've gone
yes.
to the Blue Book archives and dug up all kinds of interesting stuff if you take the time to actually go through it.
Yeah, you have to look at some of the files are just like the project card or one sheet. Summary of a sighting that's virtually useless to you, but some of them, you look at the detail. There was a sighting in Austin, Texas, late in the Project Blue Book, and the guy had an interesting sighting. He saw it for a long time. There were other witnesses involved. He flashed 3.14 on his flashlight at the UFO to see if they would respond, and the Air Force wrote it off as insufficient data for scientific analysis, and the guy wrote to the Air Force and says, what more information do you have? Your officer came out, he interviewed me, he took copious notes, we filled out your form, we gave you everything you want, what could you possibly want? And they went back and reevaluated and said it's unidentified, which I thought was kind of interesting. But, I mean, if you look at the files, you're going to look at a lot of them where the explanations make no sense. They just threw an explanation on because they needed to solve it. 4,000 or 5,000 of the cases are labeled as insufficient data for scientific analysis, which is not an explanation, but it is an answer, so that when they were presenting their documents to the higher headquarters or to the general public, they say, see, there's only 701 sightings that were unidentified. Yeah, what about the other 5,000 you didn't identify? You just labeled them as insufficient data. So there's good stuff in the Project Blue Book files. You just have to take time to go through them.
Well, that really says quite a bit, too, because, I mean, just like, let's just think about that then. What that says is that Project Blue Book agency within the Air Force charged with investigating the project and determining if there was anything to it was highly biased, actually against the reality of UFOs, and yet they still came up with, well, at least in 1947, an unknown of 26.94%. And that included ones seen visually from the air, radar, and radar visual. So even as biased as against it as they were, they still couldn't explain them all. And the ones that were unknown did have enough information that if there was any reasonable explanation, they should have been able to get it. So what does that tell you then?
I think the problem is there's a lot of stuff that we understand in today's environment that they didn't understand in the 1940s and 1950s. The Charles Whitted case, which is two airline pilots who saw a cigar-shaped craft with square windows on it.
Right.
And Hynek originally said it was probably a bolide, a very bright meteor. And everybody, I'm convinced Hynek was right on that one. They labeled it as unidentified, I believe, and they may have gone back and changed it to meteor. But the point is, we had the fall of returning spacecraft in March of 1968, and a number of people described a cigar-shaped craft with square windows that they saw UFOs. We know what they saw, but their descriptions were of a cigar-shaped craft, suggesting that there's a way for that to happen. I had on my blog at one point, they probably not allow you to go there anymore, something called Meteor Compilation. It was three minutes and 19 seconds of people who had, somebody had gone through and assembled this compilation of videos of meteors falling, and you can see them breaking up, and you can see them how the debris spreads out behind it, so it looks like square windows on a cigar-shaped craft.
Speaking of breaking up, we have to break up this station right now, or do a station break, or something of that nature. Kevin, Gene, and Randall, you're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com. Keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Schools are opening. So much opportunity to share not just memories of 2020, but germs. Worrying about your child bringing a cold or flu home is a thing of the past. Today, we have to be concerned about COVID. That's why you need to be sure your kids are protected in their school with the one-of-a-kind patented Safe Air Network equipment that continuously decontaminates not only air, but all surfaces. 99.9% decontamination in 3 minutes to begin with. with, and then continuously, so if any of the air or surfaces get recontaminated, no worries. Safe Air Network is not only the only system that cleans air and surfaces, it's chemical-free and 100% safe to use in an occupied room. The equipment is plug and purify, the easiest equipment to use as soon as it is received. Contact Safe Air Network now at safeairnetwork.com. That's safeairnetwork.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
By the way, Kevin Randall is going to be held back, and he's going to stick around for a while for the After the Paracast podcast, where the language and the content is unfettered. It's part of Paracast Plus. So if you go to the Paracast.plus, you'll learn about our latest offers. And we're talking here about the general UFO phenomenon, the state of research. So what happens here now if in June we get this report that I kind of expect from the Pentagon UAP Task Force saying that, number one, maybe we need to do more research, we'll come back. Number two, we have so far not seen any evidence that this phenomenon represents a threat to national security. Goodbye, good luck. They won't say it that way, but that's the implication. So does that destroy all this new UFO interest or what?
I don't think it will. I think they tried this before with the Condon Committee and the Robertson panel, and it didn't work then. It's not going to work now. There are too many platforms out there for us to use to express our point of view. This show being one of them, my show being one of them. You search UFOs on the internet and get all kinds of information. A lot of it's not very good, but you can still do it. There's all kinds of documentaries going on. The Ancient Aliens show is still going strong. It's not going to end interest in it because it's going to be seen as just another government cover-up, I think. But I don't think it's going to say much of anything. I think when you get the report, there's going to be probably two sections to it. And one of them is going to be the classified section, which we won't see. And the other part's probably going to be heavily redacted. And so we won't get a good reading on what's going on because they're going to trot out the national security umbrella, and that's going to be the end of it. That's what
right.
They all along.
Yeah. We're going to get the usual treatment, in other words. Have you seen James Fox's documentary, The Phenomenon, yet?
I have not, and I keep meaning to get around to looking at it. I helped with some of the information on it. I've seen parts of it. I just haven't had a chance to see the whole thing.
Okay, just was wondering because I think you did a really excellent job. It's, you know, for us, it'd be kind of like a Ufology 101, but a lot of people get the Ufology 101 wrong, and I think he's done a really good job of not making that mistake. So it's worth checking out. Going back to the Blue Book era, there was a number of different people that ran it. Okay, and then later we've got guys like Corso. Now, I thought when Corso's book came out that would be something that would be comparable to the report on unidentified flying objects, and I was really personally kind of let down by it because I really, to be perfectly honest, just don't believe half of it. Yet, when
I... You believe that much?
Okay, I'm being generous. The report on unidentified flying objects by Ruppelt, I believe every word of it. Now, the thing is I don't know, what do you think? Am I giving Rupel too much credit, or do you think that there's a substantial difference in terms of credibility there?
Well, there's a substantial difference in credibility. Carso has none, and Rupel had a great deal. Rupel, I think, made an honest effort to investigate UFOs, but I think he was also inhibited by the Air Force when he went to publish his book, and he needed to get clearance from the government to publish it, and there were things that he couldn't say. I get the impression that he was somewhat skeptical, much more skeptical than we've given him credit for in the past. I found a paper he had written in 1952, 1953 on a briefing that he gave to officers about it. And he mentioned something that was kind of disturbing for we of the Roswell fame, which was that he was unaware of any crash-recovered debris, that there had been no crashes and recovery of debris. Now, you can make the case that Rupel was not high enough up in the food chain that he would have received that information. It would have been more highly classified than where he was operating in the UFO. And it wasn't information that he needed to have to do his job. There is something to that. But I think Rupel was an honest guy who was trying to do the best he could given what was going on. After Rupel, we get the chiefs of Project Blue Book became more and more skeptical, became more and more hostile to the idea of alien visitation or flying saucers being spaceships, so that the attitude of the investigations changed radically as well. And I think there was pressure from higher ups to explain everything. There's a document in the Project Blue Book files that I saw where one of the officers is recommending that possible or probable answers for a UFO sighting should be accepted. You know, well, it could have been a balloon, but we're not sure. We cannot find anything to prove it's a balloon, but we think it sounds like a balloon, so it's a balloon, that kind of thing. And you can see where actually cases were changed from possible to probable to, yeah, it's that kind of thing. The Lubbock Lights explanation, and Rupel said that he knew what the answer was, and it wasn't spacecraft. And when you saw his notes, I think Mike Swords may have them now, but at one point they were put up for sale and a number of different organizations bought the notes, and you could go through it and you could see his notes for his book. And the idea that what the Lubbock Lights were fireflies, which is totally preposterous, but he seemed to accept that explanation. And so we look at all of that sort of thing. So I think Rupel did a good job. I think he tried to do a good job. I think he may have been pressured from above. And there's examples of that at Washington Nationals. He happened to be in Washington, D.C., after the first night, I think, and he called his headquarters back at Dayton, Ohio, asking for permission to stay overnight. They said, no, you can't. Come back now or you're going to be considered AWOL. So here he was, the investigator of UFOs, the massive UFO sighting in Washington, D.C. He's on the scene, but he has to leave because his orders didn't cover the subsequent days. His order says he had to return on this date, and they held him to it. So there was that going on as well.
I'm going to want to ask you when we get into our premium show more about this, but maybe we can have a quick answer in the remaining 2 minutes or so. Have you looked into the exotic theories of UFOs, time travelers, interdimensional time travelers, or even the collective unconscious?
I've looked at some of those. I say my favorite theory is time travelers. I don't think it's right. I don't think time travel is possible other than the way we're doing it now, which is we're traveling in toward the future at all times. I don't think you can travel back into the past, but that's my personal theory. But I like that idea that they're time travelers. I've done a couple of science fiction stories about it. I got a blog called the Science Fiction Site.blogspot.com, a science fiction story there about time traveling into the past thing. So I've always been fascinated by that sort of thing. Interdimensional makes some sense because they don't have to defeat the distances of interstellar flight. But I still lean more towards the nuts and bolts aspect of it.
If we can only prove it. Kevin Randall, give our listeners a little picture about where they can find more of your stuff.
UFOs in the Deep State came out May 1st. It's available at Amazon and your bookstores. It seems to be doing quite well. My blog is www.kevinrandall.blogspot.com. I think there's over 1,000 posts on the blog for you to look at, mostly dealing with UFOs, but some other esoteric as well. I do the science fiction site, which is all one word, sciencefictionsite.blogspot.com, with science fiction stories I've written and aspects of science fiction that interest me. And I do one called vietnamgroundzero.blogspot.com, which is the relatively true stories of my adventures in Vietnam or my tour in Vietnam. Give an idea what that was all about. Oh, and don't forget Roswell in the 21st Century, about the Roswell case, and in encounter in the desert about the Lottie Zamora sightings.
Relatively true stories. We're going to want to explore that on After the Paracast when we get to some of the others, okay? You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. You can also find us on Facebook. We're not banned from Facebook. I guess we have to incite violence first before you can be banned from Facebook. It's really hard to get banned from Facebook, actually, unless you really do some pretty oppressive things. We also have branded merchandise, folks. Go to theparacast.shop. That's theparacast.shop. We offer four different logos, and if you click on each logo on the site, you choose then the things you want. You want the bed for your dog, a small and medium-sized dog, by the way. We also have some throw pillows, and we have T-shirts and all sorts of goodies, good prices, good quality merchandise, theparacast.shop. We also have, as we mentioned, because Kevin will be back on it, the After the Paracast podcast available to subscribers of the Paracast Plus. Go to theparacast.plus. We also offer this show free of the network ads. How about that? And we've changed our offers because we no longer have the coupon codes for the phenomenon. So for a 5-year subscription to the Paracast Plus, I give you a $10 Amazon gift card. For a lifetime subscription to the Paracast Plus, give you a $20 Amazon gift card. I think Amazon should give us some money for that since we're giving them money. Any case, go to theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Kevin D. Randall, it's always just wonderful to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you.
Featuring Gene Steinberg is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.